Sonya Beverly Hewitt's mishaps, the tire and things there. And usually we get upset about those things, the flat tires, and we get upset about everything goes wrong. We don't understand it. It's stressful. He said he got that flat tire this morning. Somebody sent an offering to pay for it, and Lord take care of that. But he got to stop this afternoon at a Pilot truck stop and put a new tire on. He went to the truck stop there to buy the tire, and the guy running the counter, he got to talk to him and witness to him. And the guy said he grew up in church. He said, at one time I was on fire for God, and money got in the way and job got in the way, and I've been out of church for a long time. And Lord led Brother Hewitt there to talk to him at that exact time he needed to talk to him, all because of the flat tire this morning. And we never understand. We usually don't understand at the moment why things are happening. And we may never understand why it happens, but Lord's got things under control. The Lord knows what he's doing. Whether we understand it or not, the Lord knows what he's doing. So, anyway, I just want to share that with you. Psalms 42, you can remain seated. I'm going to go ahead and read the whole chapter there. Psalms 42, it says in verse number 1, "As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night, thou continually saying to me, Where is thy God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me. For I had gone with the multitude, I went with them to the house of God, with a voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept holy day. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. O my God, my soul is cast down within me, therefore will I remember thee from the land of Jordan, of the Hermonites, from the hill Mizar. Deep calleth unto the deep at the noise of thy waterspouts. All thy graves and thy billows are gone over me. Yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime. In the nighttime his song shall be with me, and my prayer unto the God of my life. I will say unto God my rock, Why hast thou forgotten me? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with a sword in my bones, mine enemies reproach me, while they say daily unto me, Where is thy God? Why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God." I have to be honest with you. The devil's been fighting me and my mind and my family here lately. I'm not looking for pity or pat on the back or anything like that. I'm just trying to be honest with you for a minute. I believe every home in our church has gone through a trial, or is going through a trial, or here recently is going through a trial, different hardships. Lord's fighting. The devil is fighting our church. Mess that up. And I promise you, we're hurting with you. We're here for you. But as I read this psalm this afternoon, it hit home with me. It helped me. I believe if it helped me, it can probably help you as well. So I'm going to try to share it with you real quick. I'm not going to take too long. I know we've got other things to get to tonight, but I just want to share this with you real quick. I'm going to wait and give you the title at the end, so it'll give the message away if I give you the title now, if you need a title. You look at this passage of Scripture, and every passage you'll find three things. Every passage of Scripture you look at, you'll find three different things. You'll find a literal interpretation, you'll find a prophetic implication, and you'll find a practical application. Look at every story of Scripture and everything in the Scripture. You can find those three things if you look for them. The literal interpretation here is this is the beginning of what some call the Exodus Psalms. These chapters 42 through 72 are about Israel being in a foreign land, Egypt and their enemies and all these things, and then being exited out of Egypt into Canaan land eventually. That's the literal interpretation of what this is here. The prophetic implication, I believe, here in the Psalms 42 and 43, and a few more Psalms as well, is the remnant of God, God-fearing Israelites, that is left during the Great Tribulation. I believe that's what the prophetic implication is here. One day they're going to be left, just a remnant's going to be left. They're going to go through trials and hardships, just like they did back in Egypt again. The practical application is what I want to focus on tonight. And that's usually the way most people look at these Psalms. How do I apply it to my own life? And that's the purpose of the reading the Scriptures. What does it mean? What is it about? But how can I apply it to my own life? And how can the Lord use that to help me to do more for him? So I'm going to look at that right here real quick. Let's go through verse by verse. I think I've got 3 points here. And look at every one of the verses and see what we can learn from it real quick. It's not going to be in depth. It's not going to be too deep. I hope it might help you. Number one, we see his nourishment. The psalmist here, we see his nourishment. Verse number one. As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. That hart there is talking about a male deer, a buck. As a buck panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. As much as a deer needs water, Lord, my soul needs you. As much as the animal has to have water to survive, my soul has to have you, Lord, to survive. I don't know about you, but my soul needs the Lord. My soul pants after him. Without him, I am nothing. I need him daily. I need water daily. I need him daily. Without him, I wouldn't be here. I definitely wouldn't be the pastor here without him. As much as a deer needs water, my soul needs him. Verse number two. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? I'm not that old, but you know what I've found myself. Heaven sounds sweeter every day. And that's what the psalmist is saying here. The psalmist says, my soul thirsteth for God, the living God, the one, the only living God. I'm thirsting for him. He is my nourishment. I need him. He says, when can I go see him? When can I go and appear before him? He says, I'm longing to see him. I'm thirsting after him. And I'm ready to go see him. I'm longing to appear before him. Verse 3. My tears have been my meat day and night. Well, they continually say to me, where is thy God? The psalmist says, my sorrow, my battles have been so hard and heavy. I've lost my appetite for food. I've lost my desire to eat necessary food. The tears have been my meat day and night. I don't know about you, but tears don't fill me up. Maybe you're different than I am. You can see I eat a little bit more than tears. Well, the enemy says, where is thy God? He says, I'm over here, I can't even eat. And the enemy is saying, where is your God? What are you doing? The devil is looking in and saying, where is God now? He's looking at the church now and saying, where is God now? Many of us have probably said that before too. And Brother Dale mentioned that some in Sunday school this morning. Lord, where are you at? Lord, don't you see me? Lord, it's about time you show up. That's what we think most times. We may not say it out loud, but every one of us have thought it at one point or another. Lord, I'm missing you. I'm thirsting for you. I'm not even eating anymore is what this man's saying. I need you. Have you ever been there before? Lost appetite for everything else. You're so deep in a battle that all you can do is cry and then use those tears for your nourishment. That's what this position he's in here. He's in bad shape. You ever been there before? Can't do anything else but cry. We see his condition, verses number 4 through 6. Verse 4, when I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me. For I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with a voice of joy and praise with a multitude that kept holy day. He says, when I remember these things, what things he's talking about? He's about to tell us, see that colon after the word me. He's going to tell us what is to follow when I remember these things. He's giving us a list of these things that he remembers. He says, I remember going with the multitude to the house of God. I remember the voice of joy and praise in the house of God. I remember the multitude that kept the holy day. I remember the crowd coming together, worshiping the Lord at the temple. Apparently, it's not like that anymore. We know in the literal interpretation here, they're in Egypt and not worshiping the God, but they're sacrificing different things, can't go to the temple. We know that. That's the battle between Moses and Pharaoh, let my people go so they can go worship their God. The psalmist says, I remember going to the house of God. I remember going to there with joy and praise. I remember the crowd going and worshiping together. I remember that joy we used to have. Anybody in here remember having joy when you came into the house of God? Anybody remember that and don't have it now? Is there any joy in your heart to be in God's house now? If not, it's not good. It's a problem. If not, you're in the same position this psalmist is, practically. He says, I remember when I used to be joyous with the coming to the house of God. Verse 5. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. The psalmist turns and starts talking to himself. He's, why art thou cast down, O my soul? He says, what's wrong with you? Talking to himself. Get out of this pit. He's talking to himself. Cheer up. Why art thou disquieted in me? You know what that word disquieted means? Pretty simple. The opposite of quiet. You know, why are you loud? It means his soul is crying out for help. His soul is troubled on every side. It's not quiet, not peaceful. He reminds himself, hope thou in God. Can I tell you the cure for your battles and your trials, church, and your crying? Hope thou in God. Quit putting your hope and your trust in men and in flesh. All men will fail you at one point or another. Put your trust in God. If you're trusting in me alone as the pastor here, and you're going to, at some point or another, going to be disappointed in me. I'm not perfect. I make mistakes. Hope thou in God, for thou shalt yet praise him for the help of his countenance. That's a strange statement. I will yet praise him. I will praise God for the help of his face, of his countenance. The downcast, downtrodden, discouraged psalmist says, I will praise him for the blessing, the help of his face. How he looks down at me. For he has looked down on me, his tender mercy, his tender care and his mercy, his countenance. How he looks at me, he said, I'll praise him just because he is who he is. I'll praise him because of his countenance. Praise him for what he has done. I'll praise him just because he is God, not because I feel like it, not because I may be in a battle, and may be in trouble. I'll praise him anyway because of who he is. Yes, my life is in trouble. I'm in trial and torments at the moment. This man was. The Lord's worthy to be praised because he is who he is, because of his countenance. He's God. Verse 6. O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore, I remember thee from the land of Jordan and Hermonites from the hill of Mizar. He says, I'm still discouraged, and my soul is cast down within me. So I'll just remember what you've done before, Lord. I remember thee from the land of Jordan. I'll just look back and praise you for what you've done in the past and what you've done and what you will do. Yes, I may be in trouble. Yes, this might not be fun right now, but I praise you just because of what you've already done. I remember what you've done in the past. I heard a preacher say one time, if you think you don't have anything to praise him for, just praise him on credit, because I'm sure you owe him something. You missed something somewhere. There's something somewhere that he deserves praise for, whether you want to admit it or not. Despite the battle, despite this, what the psalmist's position he's in, he says, Lord, I praise you for what you did before. I praise you because you who you are, because your face. I praise you what you did in the past. Number three, we see his consolation. Verse number seven. Deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy waterspouts. All thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. You know, the author is referencing being like he's being a castaway at sea. Deep calleth unto deep, wave after wave. He speaks of those waterspouts. I read about those. There's basically a tornado in the ocean. It pulls water up into the sky and then throws it all back down. Makes loud sounds, apparently. Pretty common. I read it pretty common outside of Syria. Pretty common. He says, I'm like a man cast away at sea. The deep, the caverns calling into the caves, the deep calling into the deep. The sounds of the crashing water all around, the echo of it. The water spout sucking up the water and throwing it, dumping it back down in the ocean. All the waves and the billows are gone over me. He said, I've been swept away by a terrible sea. I've been crashed and swept a wave on top of wave, covering me, gone over me. He said, I'm in trouble. Verse 8. Yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime. At night his song shall be with me. My prayer unto the God of my life. He says, I may be in trials, but the Lord still meets with me. He commands his loving kindness in the daytime. He blesses me. He shows me mercy in the daytime. In the night, I'm singing about him and praying to him for life. He said, it may be rough. It may be hard. There may be battles. I may be like a castaway at sea. But God said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. He said, preacher, it's not very encouraging. I'm getting there. Just because there are battles doesn't mean God isn't present. He's got it under control. He meets them in the daytime and the nighttime. It may seem like they're in shipwreck here at the moment. In our eyes, in God's eyes, he's got it under control. He's a master of the sea. Verse 9. I will say unto God, my rock, why hast thou forgotten me? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? My God, my rock, my refuge, my strength, my foundation, something to stand on, something to build my life on. He says, why hast thou forgotten me? I've trusted you. You've been my refuge. Why have you forgotten me? Lord, did you forget I'm a castaway at sea? Lord, don't you see me down here trying to tread water? I'm mourning because of the oppression of my enemy, he says. The enemy is constantly oppressing me, and I'm mourning because of what he's done to me. Lord, did you forget about me? He says here, Lord, don't forget about me. Have you ever thought that before? He says, oh, you've been my refuge. Now you've forgotten me. That's the way he feels. Verse 10. As with a sword in my bones, mine enemies reproach me, while they say daily unto me, where is thy God? He said, it's like a sword in my bones, being stabbed through with a sword all the way to the bone. Is describing the reproach he is getting from the enemy. The enemy is constantly, daily, it says, saying to him, where is your God? Constantly pushing on him, prodding him. It was like a sword in his bones. Where is your God at? You're in this trouble, you're in this trial. Where's God at? You are a castaway. You're in trouble, you're in trials, you're in hardships, you are alone. Why are you here alone, trusted in God? Where is he at now? He says, like being stabbed with a sword through the bones. Lord, why have you forgotten me? Verse 11. Why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God. It's almost the exact same verse back in verse number 5. Almost. But if you read closely, there's something that's changed there in the last part of that verse. Hope thou in God, it says, for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God. So he says in verse number 11. In verse 5, it was, I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. Verse 11, health of my countenance. What's the difference? And just the entire point of the message I'm trying to get to. He said, I'll say it and then I'll be done. This is the point here. You want to change your outlook. You want to change what everything else looks like around you. Change what it looks like. It may look like a storm. It may look like hardships and trials. It may look like you're never going to get out. You want to change your outlook. You want to change your countenance. Are you tired of constantly being grieved and mourning like he was here and all these things, other things going on in his life? Notice it never says the battle was over after this chapter. But now his countenance has been changed. For I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God. You look at the face of God. You focus on Him, put your focus on God. It'll change how you look, how change everything else looks around you. You want to change your countenance? Look at His countenance. You want to put a smile back on your face? Start looking at Him again. We tell our kids all the time, tell our kids all the time, we say, fix your face when they're looking mad or pouting about something. But fix your face. That's not any parenting books, but I'll get that one's free. Fix your face. Some of us here tonight, you need to fix your face. How's your countenance? How's your outlook? What are you focusing on? You're too busy looking at the storm to remember who's in the master of the sea. He says, Lord, I praise you because you are the health of my countenance. Lord, you can make me smile in the storm because you're the health of my countenance. If I look at you, everything changes. Are you too busy looking at the enemy to remember who's in control of your army? You want to change your countenance? Start looking at His. You want to change your outlook on life? Focus on Him. In verse 5, he's praising God because of His countenance. Verse 11, he's praising God for being the health of His own countenance. He says, Lord, you give me hope. What are you focusing on, church? Why art thou cast down? I don't know if you need a title or not, but I told you I'd tell you later. Title this, Fix Your Face. Quit focusing on your battle and your storm all the time. Quit focusing on yourself all the time. Yes, there is a battle. His battle didn't stop in verse number 11, but His countenance changed. His outlook changed on everything going on around Him. We all have battles. We all have trials. I don't know anybody's building isn't going through a trial or went through a trial. You want to fix your face? Start looking at His. Yes, we have trouble in trials. And you fix our focus. Lord, think of His day. And carry Dunforce, Lord. Think of His church. Thank you for allowing us to be here tonight, Lord. I pray you bless us. Use our church here. Thank you for Dunforce in Jesus' name.